The Soda Pod is proudly presented by 7th Avenue Pizza. 7th Ave Pizza produces the highest quality, best tasting frozen pizza available in the market today. If delicious toppings are what you crave, look no further. Try the meat sauce pizza today because it wails, folks. Follow them at 7th Avenue Pizza to stay current on where you can grab yours today. Get you some 7th Avenue Pizza today. Now let's get right to the show. From the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Jerome here alongside the State of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. All right, so we got the venting out of the way on the last episode.
I don't know about that, because the teams we're talking about now we're probably even more riled up about.
Sure, but I mean, from a wild perspective, for the wild listeners, they open up this week, the first Monday episode, and it breaks down everything, you know. We had to take a day off. I literally didn't even text Hoppy back yesterday. I just kept my phone in a different room.
You on a Saturday.
Yeah, I just kind of zoned out, watched UFC, cleaned up my new place, set up this dinky little home studio.
I stalked you though. Like every time you'd make a post or do something on Twitter, I would immediately DM you again and be like, don't fucking ignore me.
Was I even on Twitter yesterday? I don't even think I made a post. Oh, I posted THPN shit, but I wasn't checking my notifications or anything.
Hey, if you posted it, you can see that there's DMs, and you know that's the only way that I can contact you because you're a fucking Canadian.
Well, I had six DMs and I was I'm not gonna look at any of these, so I just ignored them all. But anyways, long of the short of it, we're back. It's time for some playoff and NHL specific talk here, Hoppy, and we will do our round two predictions on the next episode, so that'll drop Tuesday. So get your fix of Spoke Z if you want to hear about, and Judge Buds if you want to hear about Iowa and some more just wild, and I'm sure he'll just cry a little bit about the Bruins as well. But we will do our predictions for round two this week. But for this episode, Hoppy, where do you want to start, my man? What team do you want to vent about first, as this episode is dedicated to some of the other teams that we have, that our hearts and minds are invested in?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it worked out. Obviously, we're all orphan adopted into wild fandom. And we'll start with the shortest one. And you just mentioned the man that we're going to shed a tear for here, Spoked Z. He is obviously from Boston. He's a masshole. We fucking love him, but he is Boston through and through.
Yes.
And he's going to obviously get into this more, and I'm sure you'll hear him rant and rave about it even on Judd's Buds, to be completely honest, because that's just how he rolls. But the Boston Bruins, man, thought they did an awesome job at the trade deadline, picking up one incredible piece and signing him to a ridiculously good deal. But that's not even the biggest thing we need to talk about here. Let's just throw it out there. Patrice Bergeron, he's either going to retire, go to a new team, or re-sign for similar or even less money than he currently makes. Where's your head at on Patrice Bergeron?
I think he retires or he signs 1 year in Montreal.
See, I don't see Montreal happening. Everyone talks about that. Oh, his agent. Oh, he grew up a Montreal fan. No, he didn't. He actually grew up a Nordiques fan. So you guys are idiots. I think, and being that it's such a rival for the Bruins, I just can't see that. I can't. And why would he go one more year to play there and not have any chicken's dick chance of winning?
I think it's more just as players get older, there's something different about playing at home where you grew up, in front of friends and family. And maybe some people have it, maybe some people don't. So that's why I threw it out there. I don't know. Again, I'm not a Boston guy at all. And that's what I say. I'm usually pretty in tune with what goes on with most teams in the National Hockey League. Boston, it's PTSD. I just can't. I just can't even invest any time into learning much more surface level shit about that team. So, hey, I'm not the expert into, like you said, if he has any desire to go to Montreal. But if because of just the factor, that's where he's from, that's where his friends and family, I'm sure, are. If he's going to play one more year and it's not in Boston, that's where I'd assume a player like him with his legacy would want to go. And furthermore, if there's some underlying hate there, then I respect
Does it matter that there's a rivalry or no?
Again, for some players it might, but for others it might just be like, this is just an experience playing in Montreal. Because Toronto, I think it's different in that, like, it's just more hectic. Unless you want to be there, it's just hectic. Where Montreal, it's
I think they're equally hectic. Wait.
It's hectic, but it's different. It's there's something more, and this is someone who's, you know, I'm not a fan of the Montreal Canadiens. There's something more prestigious about playing in Montreal in the Bell Center. If you're a really true hockey, you know, enthusiast, you know, hockey nerd, like a lot of these NHL players are, who aren't just athletes first, right? They're hockey guys first and foremost. So anyways, long and the short of that, that would be my thoughts, but I could be totally off in that he has no connection outside of he's from Quebec to Montreal.
Yeah, fair. And I'll say I'm going to side with Z here. I think he stays. Now, how long? I don't know. Because the only reason I see him retiring is if he's like, my body's failing me, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, you can tell the guy still he can play. He's still got the passion, and he loves the Boston Bruins. Like, those are the three things you know for a fact. If the body quits on him, he's retiring. If not, I think he's got a few more kicks of the can with the Bruins. It's just the real question is going to be how, right? Because they're up against the cap. They only have four guys that are coming off the books. Lazar, Blyde, Brown, Zboril. And those are all cheap contracts that are all RFA and UFA. Now, on top of that, they have what I think could be the best pairing in the NHL. I really do think McAvoy and Lindholm, holy fuck, that's an incredible D pair.
It's going to be an expensive pair, though.
It's going to be an expensive pair. McAvoy just ended his bridge for $4.9 million, goes up to $9.5 million starting next year and until the end of time. Lindholm, obviously cheap because of salary retained in Anaheim.
Yeah.
2.6 this year, goes up to $6.5 million, which I think is a really reasonable contract for him.
Well,
I
thought of course.
Again, to your point on, oh, defensemen are going to get paid. Dude, if that's what he made, there's no way that Matt Dumba is making more than Hampus Lindholm. That would be insane to me. But I digress. That's a total increase of $8.5 million, which is more than Bergeron's current salary of $6.875 million. So something's got to give. And again, plenty of time this summer to overanalyze and dissect it.
Yeah.
Isha, it's probably tough off the top right here for us to come up with what that even looks like. But let's just say,
pay cut. Chris
Bergeron staying.
He's taking a pay cut.
Well, but that aside, they still have to get rid of people if they want to keep him on a pay cut. So that's going to be the fun thing to watch. Someone's going to have to leave. There's a lot of players that could potentially be on the move. Who knows? But that's really where we'll end it on the Bruins. I think Z's got way more to say about it. That's just me kind of teeing up for everybody what a shitty summer it could be for that organization.
Yeah,
they are definitely on their last leg as far as being like true competitive team.
And you know what, though? And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but credit to that franchise that post 2011, other than one or two seasons, they've been able to retool on the fly and remain competitive. So props to the organization, but fuck that team.
Yep. I'll kick it over to you now, Isha. Just open floor. What the hell's going on with the Vancouver Canucks?
So I've actually had to do some prep because I've been so dialed into Wild that I've kind of just, I haven't even been listening to like local Canucks radio, or I've just, again, dialed Minnesota Wild, dialed into just like the relevant playoff teams. But there is a bunch of like, you know, surface level news. First, I want to start off with just one thing. There was a lot of drama behind Bruce Boudreau, and apparently him and the Vancouver Canucks didn't see eye to eye on an extension, on him coming back, some of the fine details of the agreement, the contract and term. And apparently it was reported, you know, in confidence that Bruce Boudreau was probably not going to come back to the Vancouver Canucks. Thank fucking God that they have agreed and he is going to come back. But it's just concerning that there were some philosophical issues, you know, between them, that they were butting heads on something, the Vancouver Canucks organization and Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, now, how much term they were going to give him.
Well,
that's the only philosophical argument.
I haven't heard, you know, that term was the issue. Now, that's what I assume. But it's, at the end of the day, it's Bruce Boudreau. Like, he has his house, you know, out east and everything. It's not like he's, you know, digging any roots here in Vancouver. It's like 1 year or 3 years, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm sure like you're a coach in the National Hockey, you can get fired at any day. So, and I think Bruce Boudreau knows that. He's at, you know, this is probably his final kick at the can. Let's be honest. So I think that was, it was less about that. And I'm reading into it more that they're just like, just plans, like maybe roster plans, personnel plans, things like that, where Bruce is like, okay, whether it's 1 year or three, if you're bringing me back here, I want a say. Unlike this year where it was just like, I'm the replacement and I'm going to roll with what I've been given. And I think that is a good conversation to have. Obviously, if you're from Bruce Boudreau's position, and as a Canucks fan, I love that. It was just concerning that it took this long and that it was just dragged out in the media. But again, it's Canucks media. They're not in the playoffs. There's not much to talk about. Maybe it was just highlighted a little too much. But hey, they got it done. Happy about that. Another big thing the Vancouver Canucks are in the works of doing, Andre Kuzmenko. Who's that, you might ask? I didn't know either until I learned. Apparently,
Wait, what? What did you just say?
I don't even know.
Was an Ishaism. I didn't know either until I learned.
until I learned about him today. Every year, there's always that top player out of the KHL. Some years, it works great, you know, a la Panarin. Some years, it doesn't, a la whoever the fuck that guy was in Vegas, who apparently runs the KHL, but couldn't even make it out of preseason in Vegas' first year. Name escapes me. Anyways, Andre Kuzmenko, he's absolutely dominated in St. Petersburg and CSKA. 53 points in 45 games last year. And he is that, you know, Russian, you know, mid-20s player that other NHL teams are kind of bidding on bringing him in. Apparently, it's between the Rangers and Canucks. Surprise, surprise, with the Russian, you know, kid coming over. And that the Canucks are very close in getting that done. So that's exciting because it's someone you're going to bring in on the cheap. It's someone who's like, sure, maybe low floor, but maybe the ceiling is actually pretty high. And the Canucks need secondary scoring. The Canucks need third and second liners. So hey, if this guy can fit in that position, that's exciting. Other plans of the Canucks. A bunch of just random things like clearing house of people behind the scenes, like trainers, nutritionists, things like that. Like the Vancouver Canucks, new management is definitely putting their stamp on that, clearing out people who've been with the organization since as far back as like 2003, or either walking away or they're, you know, parting ways with them. One of the biggest things, though, is that the Canucks are actively shopping OEL, and it's not just that's what the tabloids are saying. They made one call, so the, you know, Canucks media is blowing out of proportion. Apparently, people are actually answering the calls, and that it might be a deal where, yes, the Canucks might have to give a little sum to get the contract off the books, but not as much as I think the Canucks fans feared, in that OEL, sure, he didn't put up the points this year, but if you look into the underlying stats and just the eye test, he actually had a pretty damn good season. Good player, bad contract. Simple as that. So there are a lot of teams interested in his services, and the Canucks, from what I've been reading, from what I've been seeing, might not have to eat too much, you know, in trying to get rid of that contract. Last but not least, Besser. And let's get into this a little bit. Minnesota boy too. I doubt that, you know, his dream of playing in Minnesota is going to happen anytime soon, given the Wilds, you know, organization situation and the Canucks right now. But it's an interesting position for Brock Besser, in that, like, streaky player, in the talent is there, the shot is there. He's faced some injury adversity, but he's also facing adversity off the ice, and that we all know what's going on, you know, with his father. And I'm sorry, but that has to affect you. It has to. I mean, shoot, man, that kind of stuff affects, you know, personal stuff seeps into my work all the time. Now imagine being at the top level of an athlete with the pressure of an entire city, an entire province, you know, trying to perform under, you know, circumstances like that. I think it was very evident, you know, in his exit interviews and presser, you know, where he's at, where his family's at, where his father's at, where the health of his father's at. And maybe that's indicative of why he's been so streaky. All that aside, though, his qualifying offer is $7.5 million. And the Canucks, they have a little bit of cap space, but they got some big dogs on the roster too. Pedersen's coming up for, you know, an extent. I know you signed a bridge deal as well. Is this someone who you want to lock in for that Pedersen, much money?
You've talked about trading Pedersen. Why is he taking priority?
Is this a player that that you think the Canucks should go all in on? And do you think they've seen enough to that long term, $7.5 million is going to be fair and is going to help them down the road with a player like Brock Besser.
Do I think he's a $7.5 million player? Yeah, I do. And you actually took the point that I was going to kind of throw at you if you talked about how he's just not lived up. The personal situation absolutely impacted him this year. And we still saw flashes of who Brock Besser is. But
Bruce Boudreau brought it out of him too, which is what awesome. And again, it goes back to what I'm saying. Bruce Boudreau, he has to come back because the players loved him. And furthermore, Travis Green, I'm sorry, maybe he just didn't show any empathy to Besser and was like, I'm here to do a job. Whereas Bruce Boudreau maybe showed some empathy and brought the best out of him. I don't know.
Yeah. What's tough with this one is just like not really knowing what the mindset is. Now, I will say, knowing Rutherford, it's usually to push the chips in and try and be competitive, right? He's not big on the whole rebuild approach. It's just tough when you look at like the decisions they got to make, right? They got one more year of Horvat and Miller. They've got really nothing that's locked up long term besides Connor Garland and Quinn Hughes, right? Well, and then OEL potentially. they've got what you need. Like, if you're a team that wants to compete, you want strength down the middle, you need a top tier defenseman, and you need a legit number one goalie. They have all of those things. It's filling in around it, which the one thing I can promise you, Isha, from definitely seeing it up close, Rutherford's going to take swings. You're going to be pissed off with some of them, but some of them might hit. And it's just going to be interesting to see what happens when he actually has an offseason to really kind of put his print on the organization. I think Brock Besser is going to be the first signal of what that's going to look like. He's either going to be, let's be real, from a Wild perspective, Brock Besser scares you because that is the other option for teams that are looking into Kevin Fiala. Which one do we want? Which one's more affordable? And you know, I think there's going to be teams that have differing opinions on Besser versus Fiala, especially if Fiala is demanding more money. So I am really curious, though, what is done there and what's recouped, whether that's something that's a current asset versus futures, or if they keep him, that's going to tell us a ton about what Rutherford sees in this team and what his plan is for the next couple of years. I do. So I don't have an answer. I think he is worth keeping if they can find a way to do so. It's just, what else are you going to do to change and shake up this roster? Because make no mistake, changes have to be made if they're going to get over the hump. Like, they should have been a playoff team this year if they had Boudreau all year, but it doesn't mean that they would have made it past the first round, right?
No.
And at that point, who gives a shit? We're experiencing that right now. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
But I just think it's a fun one to watch and a painful one to watch for Wild fans because, guarantee you, teams like New Jersey, who we talked about, they're evaluating, which one do we want? Do we want Fiala? Do we want Besser? Because I do see them being kind of in a category by themselves. I take it back. Those two and William Nylander. Difference is, Nylander has a better cap hit. He's locked in for more term, so he's going to be more expensive. And guess what? I think he's the best of the three. So you're going to have to pony up if you want him.
No, absolutely. And I think if they go all in on Besser, it's telling that they're going to make changes with either a Bo Horvat or JT Miller sooner than expected. Because you said it there. The Canucks cannot ice this. The Canucks have a good team. They cannot ice that same team this year. They have to make changes. And one of those big changes is dangling one of those centerpieces and getting a haul for either of them in return.
Obviously, you're getting a haul for either.
Think JT Miller, you're going to get some fucking money. You're going to get something for it.
You're going to get something. I don't think a haul is what you're going to get, though, for a guy that got one more year and he's going to be on the other side of 30.
I think we're going to be surprised with that one. I think we're going to be surprised.
I hope people are finally acknowledging how good JT Miller is. I fucking hated him three years in a row. But I love him. He has long been a player that I've enjoyed watching, even when he played for the scumbag Rangers.
One thing, I know you keep saying this too, and I thought that it was that this was the way it was, admittedly, as well. But the more I've been reading, the more I've been getting back into like Canucks beat and things like that. Rutherford may be here. This is not his team. And I know you don't agree, but I'm telling you. Like I'm telling you, not you know.
So who's the GM?
Patrick Alvin.
Wait. So you're telling me that the GM of the team is Rutherford's bitch, but Rutherford doesn't have control of the team.
Patrick Alvin apparently is the one, not even apparently, is the one who's making the decisions, who has the final say and everything like that with this team. Right. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Who do you think's sitting on his shoulder as he makes all those decisions that are his final decision?
No.
If you think that Rutherford isn't in control of this team, you clearly aren't paying attention.
See, I was the opposite, and that's why I'm making it very known here, Hoppy, that I thought it was Rutherford's team. It is not Rutherford's team. That is why this offseason is so intriguing as a Canucks fan, because if you did think that it was Rutherford, it's kind of okay. Look at his past and see what's going to happen.
The one way that I will submit and agree that it's not Rutherford's team is if they go for futures. If they send one or two of their big players and get future assets instead of current players, then okay. I'll agree that it's not Rutherford.
Okay. Cards in your favor, given that this team is not a rebuilding team anymore. But okay, no, I'll still
that's the only way that I can point and say that's clearly not Rutherford.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how the dominoes fall.
I think that's just people looking for something to talk about and trying to start a new narrative. They're bored. I'm telling you, it's Rutherford. If you had any GM besides Alvin, I'd listen. But Alvin is Rutherford's bitch.
Okay. Well, again, I'm interested to see how the offseason goes.
It's like saying that Dean Evason makes his own decision on roster. Like,
again,
Bill Garrett making the decisions.
I'm telling you, this is how it's run. So that's what's going to be. It's going to be a little bit different this time around.
Sure. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, SodaPod listeners. Just want to give a quick word from our friends at DraftKings. They want to remind you that you can feel the action on the ice like never before with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Right now, new customers can bet just $1 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state or province, you can still hit the ice for cold, hard cash. New customers can make their first deposit and play for free for thousands of dollars with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. Draft your lineup of 8 skaters and a goalie and rack up points for goals, assists, saves, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now or Daily Fantasy and use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NHL team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. 21 or older, restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
All right, now it's my turn to have fun, huh? I sit here an hour away from puck drop of Game 7. A series that I didn't expect to be like overly emotionally invested in.
And dramatic. Like there's been some playoff drama.
Well, but that's my thing though, is like, as soon as you told me that Louis Domingue was probably going to be their starting goalie for this series, I'm like, you know what? If they lose, I can accept it. It's out of my hands. Right. Not only do they take a 3-1 lead over the fraudulent New York Rangers. Now we're going into a game 7 where Crosby is coming back in after not playing game 6. Tristan Jarry is supposedly going to be in the starter's crease for the Penguins, which scares me in a similar way to Talbot playing in game 6. But you know what? At this point, I'm pretty okay either way with how it ends up. I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to be pissed off if they don't win. That's just like how playoff hockey works. This is probably of all the years, the year that I'm going to be most okay if they don't get through. It's just one of those things, man, where all the injuries and people can say that they aren't cheap shots. Come on now.
Yeah.
The hit to Crosby's head, that's not accidental, especially when you see earlier in the game, the elbow that he threw to start right at Gensel. Sorry. Like, this is a guy that's looking for blood. Trouba is a kind of dirty player. Anyways, the Raquel hit, trash. The fact that there was no punishment or anything for that blew my mind. And then we've got, of course, the freak accident of DeSmith going down, the way he played in game 1, if he was healthy, Penguins already advanced by now. Truly.
So good.
He looked great and goes down. Everyone thinks that it's he's got like cramps. And then the next morning it's, oh, sorry, guys. He actually just had abdominal surgery and he's done for the year. What? So with all of that, like going in, and then their top defensive defenseman Brian Dumoulin has been out for the series.
Yeah.
So you told me all those things and that the Penguins are going to a game seven, then I'd be thrilled. I would be thrilled. They got Zucker back, which is certainly a help. Kasperi Kapanen finally looks like a competent human for a minute. He even said when they like interviewed him after a couple games of playing, while he's like, "It's about time I showed up, huh?"
Yeah, at least I finally showed up. Yeah, I mean, and at least he recognizes that.
Yeah. So you know what? If we get even decent Jerry, and nothing like what we saw last year against the Islanders, I think Penguins win this game. I do. I think it totally sits on his shoulders, unfortunately for him. Because, like, again, shitty situation, just like Talbot got thrown into. But he looked really good in the regular season. And I said, you know what? I don't trust him until I see it in the playoffs. And unfortunately, he gets hurt a couple weeks before. We didn't get to see it. So
they
need
Gino to just, you know, be vintage Gino in this one, too.
They needed that in game six, man.
Well, I know, but but yes, of course. But this is do or die. He has to take over, especially if Crosby isn't going to play 100%, just because, let's be honest, he got hit in the head, man. The guy's,
if Crosby's playing, his plan ears are isn't still for ringing him a to bit. Play anything under 100%.
I know, you. But I'm just saying he might not show it. He might physically think or mentally think he's playing 100%, but let's be honest, if his ears are still ringing from that hit, Malkin's going to have to step up.
If his ears are still ringing, he can't play, man. He has to clear a concussion protocol. He did not have a concussion. I think game six sitting out was preventative measure. I think he comes back in, and short of Truba elbowing him in the head again,
I think
we see full Crosby. I hope. Yeah, right?
I hope you're right.
Yeah. That's probably wishful thinking. But end of the day, man, I think the Penguins are every bit a better team than the Rangers. I think they're the biggest frauds in the world. And the only reason they got here is Igor Shesterkin. And he is the only reason that they will win game seven. I'm very worried that he just wakes up and realizes how good he is.
He's something else.
He could steal game seven. Like that's what you see all the time. That's what Vasilevsky did against Toronto. I think Toronto was the better team.
Look, I'm betting on the playoff king himself, the Minnesota boy Jake Guentzel, over a fucking goalie coming out of nowhere this season.
Talk about one of us, dude. Jake Guentzel is a playoff monster.
And not only just playoff. Like, you look at what he did in the regular season this year, too. The guy's a fucking star.
He is a star. He is now solidified as a regular 40-goal scorer. I think that he ends up replacing Crosby as the captain whenever Crosby retires in like 8 years or 8 days. We don't know which.
That's so funny.
I think that he has grown a lot too as a player.
57 points in 57 playoff games, 33 goals. What an absolute stud.
So yeah, he's really been though their most consistent playoff player outside of Sidney Crosby for sure.
Yeah.
And
Malkin's got the points too, but again, consistency, he piles them up.
He's inconsistent.
He piles them up in one game and then nothing in the next.
But dude, that's what you need from him. If he can just win one game by himself, Crosby's going to take care of the rest.
Yeah.
And I love Evgeny Malkin so much. And that's where this is really a big one for the team, because you got big decisions after this year. They are not in the same cap hell as the Boston Bruins, but this is summer for, it sounds like, all of our teams, Bruins, Vancouver Canucks, Minnesota Wild, and Pittsburgh Penguins, which really funny that it just lays out that they're in all the different divisions and we get a representative from each. Probably hurts you a little bit though, that Boston is one of them, but we love Z. We'll make it work.
Yeah. But he makes it bearable.
Dude, four big names that need new contracts. UFA, Evgeny Malkin, who will be 36 next year. Chris Letang, who will be 35 next year. Brian Rust, who will be 30 next year. And Ricard Raquel, recently acquired, will be 29 next year. Odds are, you're probably only keeping two of them.
Yeah, well, especially because like Rust isn't, again, playing with some of the top players in the whole world, but still, like, he's not just a flash in the pan. He's had three amazing seasons, so like he's going to respectfully demand the money that he's earned.
Dark horse for me, man. If no one else is found, like if there's not something else to be had and Fiala's not re-signed and there's wiggle room,
pick him up.
That's a guy that Billy Guerin gets. Billy Guerin made Brian Rust who he is.
I love that player. I absolutely love that player.
Brought him into Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Like, developed, again, like, he very much had his hands on a lot of these prospects that turned into something with Pittsburgh. You look at a guy like Teddy Bluger. You look at a goalie like Matt Murray. Like, say what you want about what happened in Ottawa. That guy was a huge reason that Pittsburgh won back-to-back cups. He was fucking incredible. I will love him until the day I die. Matt Murray is incredible. All right. off topic. Did Brian Rust is a great guy, though. Like, that's the kind of guy you want to stick with a Matt Boldy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Solid. Like, that's a good fit. Yeah. And he's got the versatility. Dude, you throw him on that Ekline? Although that's the opposite of solving the problem we were talking about earlier with saving money and getting assets with Greenway. So that... The beauty of a Brian Rust is that he is versatile and can play up and down the lineup.
He's a Swiss Army knife. Line.
Problem is, he's going to get too much money, and he is going to be on the other side of 30. I think he's going to look... He's either going to come back cheap and say, I want to finish as a Pittsburgh Penguin, or he's going to get whoever will throw him the most money. I can't slight him if he picks either, so...
Does he face a lot of injuries? I'm looking at his games played. It's always like half a season. So
he's had a handful of injuries. Yeah.
Okay.
But so again, they aren't recurring injuries. It's not re-injuring something that's been done. So it's not something that's a huge concern. That's just different freak injury after each one.
Okay. Because like I said in the last episode, I'm more looking at professional sports now through how many injuries have you amassed in your career versus your age. Age to me is it doesn't matter.
But the injuries, yes, it wears you down, but I'm way more worried if it's the same injury happening over and over. But exactly. I get what you're saying. It's wear and tear, right? And
unless you're Geno Malkin, then it doesn't matter because that guy's injured every part of his body and he's still
been a playoff warrior, Brian Rust. He is Mr. Game 7. He is the guy that I'm looking to be the big player here for the Pittsburgh Penguins. People listening to this obviously already know the outcome, so you're either agreeing with me and nodding your head, or you're laughing because Igor Shesterkin stood on his head and Pittsburgh is off playing golf. But to me, I think Brian Rust, unless he decides he's willing to take a pay cut, which if I were him, I fucking wouldn't. I'd go out and make bank. He's gone. You have to find a way to keep Evgeny Malkin through the end of his career. And I think Rickard Rakell, they find a way to keep him. And I think he can actually be a really good fit, whether it's with Malkin or Crosby. Chris Letang is my big wild card. I don't know. I think he's more likely to end up in Montreal than Patrice Bergeron, to be completely honest.
Agreed.
Which worries me. He literally is having a career year at age 34, 35.
Well, look at Malkin too. 42 points in 41 games. Like the guy,
he's a freak, man. He's a freak. And he just is such a piece of the identity and the fabric of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It matters so much. And I don't think he wants to go. I just don't know what kind of contract he's going to be seeking. I don't see him saying that he wants to be like a $10 million player, right? And he made 9.5 for a long time. I think he's okay making a little bit less. I just don't know how much less.
Is it crazy to think, because I've heard him say this before, that like Pittsburgh's the only team he's going to play with in the National Hockey League.
I think that's what he wants.
Is it crazy to think that he just goes back to Russia?
And if he's still going to play? I think he's going to keep playing.
Okay. I'm just,
I think he's playing somewhere this. I think he's got at least 3 more years of playing meaningful NHL hockey. And I think he wants to either do it in Pittsburgh. Could I see him going to another team for a cup if it's got some Russians on and he's comfortable and they're willing to throw the bag at him? Maybe. See, I think he stays. I can't picture him in another jersey. Whereas as sad as it makes me, because I love him, I can see Chris Letang going somewhere else and making real money and being an impact player for an organization. I really can. So that scares me. Then they've got mid-tier decisions to make, right? They got Kasperi Kapanen, who will be 26, Evan Rodriguez, 29, Danton Heinen, 27, and Casey DeSmith, 31. I'm not sure what happens with DeSmith, especially based on the injury, but he looked like a solid and capable backup, but that's kind of a dice roll. Kasperi Kapanen, if he wants any more than league men, he's not staying.
He's gone.
He definitely, unless he is like the playoff hero, puts the team on his back in game 7 and goes on a run in the playoffs, he's got no chance.
Yeah,
Rodriguez, and I think Evan Rodriguez is out the door too.
He's getting paid elsewhere, yeah.
Maybe.
More so than he's going to get paid with this team.
Yep. But for me, man, the one thing, because I do think that people have been way too harsh on Ronnie Textall so far. The big blunder is Jeff Carter. Jeff Carter's fucked up so much stuff. Like, for real. They protected him over Jared McCann, which I'll never forgive them for. They then signed him to a 2-year extension at the age of 37, when up until game 6, when he scored the opening goal, everyone was pretty much cursing him and saying he shouldn't even be playing. That is going to hurt the team. That's not good. Thankfully, it's not crazy money thrown his way, but Jeff Carter is a hindrance to the organization, unfortunately. I don't see him being he's definitely not a top six center. Like, if Malkin leaves, Carter cannot just slot up there and take over for him. And I think Teddy Bluger needs to get more ice time. I think he needs to be the third line center and almost work in a similar ilk as Joel Eriksson Ek, right? I don't know what Jeff Carter's role is moving forward, but the fact that he's there for two more years doesn't please me. Doesn't please me at all. But then they have to make changes. Something's going to have to give, especially if you want to keep all three, Crosby, Malkin, and Letang. Players that could move. We got 1 year left of Jason Zucker, $5.5 million. There are teams that would love to have his services. And guess what? Yep. Pittsburgh Penguins would love to have his services if he was healthy. Like, every Penguins fan, they hate the trade because, let's be real, the Wild absolutely won that trade, fleeced them when you look at it in hindsight. If Zucker was healthy the whole time, no one would be saying that. Everyone would be like, wow, that was a good trade for both teams. Awesome. He's looked great when he's been healthy and been able to play. I think he's a guy that can play really well with Sidney Crosby too, which if you can do that and push other guys down the lineup, that's huge. It's just been a bummer that he hasn't stayed healthy. I fucking love Jason Zucker, who I will continue to refer to as Carly's husband on Twitter, because I might love Carly more than Jason. They're both just so awesome. So he's a guy that you could see move in the offseason. Then you've got pretty much the entire blue line. I don't know what the construction is going to be, man. Chris Letang, they will keep if they can. But then you've got Dumoulin, who I only see being a deadline move if they're not a playoff contender and if there's another team that needs the services. Very cheap, and he is the kind of guy that can come in and play top pair of minutes and be a really good shutdown guy who's clearly done it before, right? But it's really Matheson, Marino, and Pettersson. I think one of those three gets moved. I really hope it's not Marino, but he seems like the most likely. He's got five more years at 4.4. He's a guy that I see Alvin, aka Rutherford, going for.
I was
for.
Just
going
to say, yeah. I think there was interest at the trade deadline.
There was, and I think there's a fit there still if they really want to pay up for him. I think he's an incredible defenseman. We've seen him regain form here in the playoffs. Him and Pettersson have been one of the best defensive pairings in the first round. They've been incredible. Pettersson also 3 years left at just over $4 million.
They're all good contracts, too. That's the thing. Like,
Remember you said that because Michael Matheson, who everyone laughed at Pittsburgh when they traded Hornquist for him because it was a money move, right?
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Pittsburgh fixes defensemen. Period. End of statement. He is a legit player now. That is no longer a bad contract. You bring in Justin Schultz and make him look like an all-star.
I was just thinking, Schultz.
Even Jamie Oleksiak.
Yeah.
They brought him in and looked great. They ended up trading him back to Dallas. Like, yeah, we fucked up. We'll take him back. Like, Pittsburgh has done an incredible job of transforming defensemen because of the way that their system works and how they let them play within it. It makes no sense because no one looks at the Penguins. Everyone says every year that the Penguins are not a good defensive team. And that's always not true.
There was only one defenseman that they couldn't fix, and somehow Calgary.
No one can fix Jack Johnson.
Well, him, that's not even who I was thinking. I was saying Eric Gabranson.
Jack Johnson is the one you need to think of. And dude, I actually thought Gabranson was solid with Pittsburgh.
Okay, but Calgary fixed him because like he's a good top four defenseman now. And at 30, it took long enough for the third overall pick.
But with Pittsburgh, he was a solid 4 or 5 guy, I think.
Him and Zadorov is a scary pairing in Calgary, dude.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I just think there's going to be a lot of changes here this summer. Like, this is basically, I'm going to learn over this summer whether it's over, it's done, and I just kind of do what the Capitals fans are doing now, like seeing how many points Ovi can amass, or do we have more time? Like, it's anywhere from 0 to 3 more years in my mind that Pittsburgh can be in the discussion to maybe win one more cup.
Yep.
I don't know where it lands though. This summer's going to tell me a lot about whether it's 0 or 3.
Well, I'm excited to hear Burke and Hexel talk about their plans too.
I want it on record, man. I don't care what happens. I don't care if the Penguins, as everyone's listening to this, so it would be yesterday. I don't care if the Penguins got beat 8-0. The Rangers are not a good team. They are the fakest frauds. They should not have had the regular season they did. Igor Shesterkin is incredible. He should win the Hart Trophy just for getting them as far as they did in the regular season. That's the only reason, Isha. That's the only reason. any other team, I wouldn't have said it, but what he made the Rangers what they were. I don't have much respect for them. I don't think they're any good. And I think that Carolina mops the Rangers if they move on. I think Pittsburgh, if healthy, will make it a series, but Carolina probably wins in six or seven.
Carolina, they're just their pace.
They're deep, dude. They're so deep.
For me, and again, like it's a very simple thing, but like pace of game. I haven't seen a team in the National Hockey League play at a pace consistently for three periods like the Carolina Hurricanes. I've seen the Wild do it in the first period of pretty much every single fucking game in the regular season, and then it's gone. The Carolina Hurricanes, they play at an unbelievable pace, and I don't think that there's any team right now that can match them. From what I've seen right now, anyways. So it's going to be a fun one. These two episodes have been fun, dropping on Monday. Again, join us tomorrow for our round two predictions. Round one, I mean, so far, I've looked pretty good for me. I've made some pretty good predictions thus far. Again, the Blues one just kind of, I don't know how to feel about that. I said the Blues are going to win in six. They did win in six. And
you and I mean, to the others that contributed, obviously, like they were going homer pick, they had to pick the Wild because they felt like that. I'm curious how many actually thought the Wild were the better team, because again, I knew the Blues were the better team, but I didn't expect it to end like this. It's sad. But I gotta say, off of this episode, we're gonna need shit to talk about this summer. Like, we're gonna go off the rails, we're gonna talk about Always Sunny in Philadelphia, talking ridiculous shit. If there are like teams that are following largely enjoys, like please like DM us, let us know the teams you care about. Cause if we get enough people that say one team, we'll absolutely do a deeper dive and give more coverage, because I honestly watch all the teams. I feel like I've got a pretty good pulse on like almost all of them. There's probably a couple that I've slipped a little bit, but like, I would love to do more deep dives on other teams. I'm just not going to do it to hear myself talk. So if there's stuff you guys want to hear, we will absolutely do it. DM us, comment, whatever. Tell us which teams you care about besides the Wild.
There you go. And I mean, we have a lot of guests too that we can bring on to talk about those teams, folks. So that is awesome. This has been fun, Hoppy. A lot of venting about the Wild and you know, our personal teams to start off the week. Excited to get into our predictions later in the week. And go show Z some love too, because he needs as many handkerchiefs as he can get, I think, this week, Hoppy? Because he's gonna be drying up those tears for a few days.
I mean, I don't know about tears. It's just going to be even less sleep than usual.
Less sleep. A lot of straws, we'll say that much.
Oh, stop. See, I can deal with a lot of the Boston antics. Like, I genuinely enjoy him. The straw bit, I can't. I need to know if he actually likes it or if he just does it to get a rise. I want to know which.
All right. Well, that would be our first question for him when we bring him on.
He's not going to answer that, honestly.
We'll just... I'll make sure it's recording without it saying that it's recording, and maybe we can get him off the record there.
Nice.
Signing off, I'm Isha Dromi, alongside the State of Hoppy. This has been the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, man?
We good.
Don't fear. Just drink some beer. Stay wild.